It's time to talk about email. Email is one of the pillars of running an online business and has been pretty much since its infancy. Though social media is great, generating likes and comments, shares and regrams doesn't mean much if you're not leading your audience into your sales funnel. And the cool thing about email is that unlike Instagram, you're not subject to algorithms and platform changes what feels like every other day. It sounds simple, right? Just choose an email service provider, build a lead magnet, and then set up a sequence. But there are so many factors that can make or break your email funnel. Is your copywriting speaking to your ideal client? Are you selling enough? Too much? How often should you email your list? And which email service provider should you use? So for the last guest episode of the season, I'm speaking to CJ Thomas, founder of Simply Healthy Marketing. CJ is also an Online Business Launch Lab guest instructor, and I am always so inspired by her teaching style and her savvy marketing advice. Through organic growth strategies, strategy coaching, and effective marketing funnels, she helps wellness entrepreneurs achieve growth and sustainability in their business without compromising the authenticity of their brand. Today, CJ will walk us through the most important steps to building a solid email marketing strategy. I certainly learned a lot from this conversation, so let's hop in. So, welcome, CJ. I'm so excited to have you here to talk about your business and email marketing.
Thank you so much for having me, Latasha.
Well, CJ and I connected through the Freelance Friday Club, I think is where I really first met you. And you are just super talented. You own a company called Simply Healthy Marketing, and you definitely have a way with words. And that's kind of what we are going to be talking about today, specifically related to email. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how your business got started, where you started to learn about email marketing, and why you're passionate about this?
Yeah, absolutely. So my business actually got started because I was a yoga teacher and I was out in the world kind of trying to make a space for myself. I'm a large woman of color, full-figured woman of color. And so, you know, it takes a lot to kind of market yourself in the yoga and spiritual world. And I got my certification, but then I realized, like, you know, this is also marketing. This is also business. And this is a whole nother, you know, world that I have to learn. So I did, and I loved it. And one day I had this realization of, you know, I'm good with doing things on the computer. I love marketing myself, but most of my peers don't. A lot of yoga teachers, a lot of health practitioners, they're so much more about the kind of earth-based, you know, body-based in-person interactions with their community, and not so much into posting to Instagram all the time or doing an email marketing campaign. So I decided to pivot, and that's when I created my copywriting business. And down the road, I turned it into Simply Healthy Marketing, and here we are.
Amazing. Yeah, it's kind of like opposite worlds, I guess, when you think about, you know, mindfulness and, like, you know, all of the kind of, like you said, earthy practices versus the super obnoxious sometimes internet world that we live in that is just so noisy. I struggle with that sometimes too, because I think I'm intentional, I guess you could say, somewhat. And I definitely struggle with finding that balance in this very noisy social world. So it's great that you're providing that service for people who are like, this isn't my thing. You know, this isn't what I want to do. So your company is a copywriting business. So what type of copy do you do? Is it just email? Do you do like website copy? Tell us a little bit about kind of the services you offer.
Yeah. So I do everything from website copy to social media copy. I've done a lot of email copy, and it's all just about, you know, writing the words that sell the courses or the services and the products. And in between, and this is actually how I learned about you, Latasha, is that I started to take on social media management and doing some content creation and posting and scheduling. And that's kind of like helped me to round out my offers with my business. And then I also do coaching.
Awesome. Copywriting is so important from so many different, there's so many different aspects that are really important, and where a professional can really make a difference too. I noticed that
the first time that I hired someone to do my landing page copy on my courses, there was just such a huge difference in conversion rate. So I'm a big believer in hiring people who know what they're doing, if you can, like yourself.
Yeah. You know, and I think like a lot of people fear it, but the thing is, it just helps when you can take it off of your plate. And as a copywriter, I can at least speak for myself in saying that I've researched so much copy and can really pick up on those different key terms that help to inspire people to take action down the road. So mm-hmm. It can make a huge difference when you hand off your copy.
Totally. Absolutely. Cool. Well, today, what I really wanted to dive into with you is email marketing for a couple of reasons. One, because I'm actually not a pro at email marketing. I know enough to kind of keep the lights on in my business, but I am definitely not a pro. And two, because I know a lot of my audience is either in the same boat or hasn't yet started up an email list, doesn't understand the significance of it. So, you know, I just wanted to talk a little bit about why email marketing is so important. So let's start there. You know, in this social media world, you know, we're all talking about TikTok and short form content and what's new and, you know, what's the flashiest and newest. Why is email still important? Email seems so archaic, right? So old school. Why is it so important? Do you still need an email list nowadays?
Absolutely. Email is so important. And I kind of think that it always will be. What I think a lot of people don't know is that social media is the very top of our marketing funnel. So social media is what we use to attract the strangers in the world who don't know anything about us or our business. And then from there, you start to pull them into your community. And when you get them in your community, you need a place for them to go so that you can constantly be able to connect with them, communicate, and share your offers, as well as all of the value. And email is a really powerful place to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And every time Instagram goes down or, you know, any of these platforms go down, I'm always reminded like, yep, that's why email is important because you don't hear, I mean, I'm not saying it never happens. Like Gmail has went down, but it doesn't go down like Instagram goes down or any of these other platforms do.
Yeah, it's so true. And yes, you know, Gmail could go down or MailChimp or whatever service you use, but you can always save your list. So that's like tip number one. Every couple of months or so, make sure that you're saving a copy of your email list just in case that happens. So yeah,
that's a really, really good tip. Yeah. And then also with the algorithms too, I always think about that, you know, people complain about, well, people aren't seeing my posts and things like that. And again, like email does have barriers, there's spam filters and things like that. But for the most part, if you email somebody one-to-one, it's going to be in their inbox. It just will be, it's not going to be hidden under all these other people's posts. So yeah, I absolutely think it's important to have an email list. But with that said, where do you start with it? I guess let's start with platforms. Do you have any recommendations for platforms for people to get started building an email list with?
Yeah. So I feel like this differs depending on where you are in your business. Some people are just starting out and they don't even have a website. So I always say make use of social media. Marketing tip 101, make sure you know your audience. So where are they hanging out? If they're frequently on Instagram, then you should be too. And you can definitely direct people to sign up for your email list through Instagram. If they're on LinkedIn, it's the same thing. So just making sure that you're really paying attention to where are people engaging with you the most, and then putting your energy there. And you know, just kind of testing it out, coming back to see like, is this still the place where I get the best engagement? And then if not, shifting it accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And what about actual email marketing platforms? So like, do you have any favorites for specifically for beginners or people who are just kind of learning it? I mean, there's so many out there. There's MailChimp and Flowdesk and ConvertKit, anything that you personally recommend?
Yeah. So I'm really fortunate that because I've worked with different people, I've worked with these different platforms and I've kind of gotten to figure out what feels good for me. And of course, it's user choice, but I actually really like Flowdesk, and I learned about Flowdesk from you, Latasha. And when I got in there, I was just like, okay, this is the easiest email platform I've ever used. You can segment and it makes sense. You can do automations and it's super easy and clear. You can schedule out your posts and you can have an unlimited amount of people subscribe to your list, which a lot of platforms will actually charge you based on the number of people subscribed to your list. So I think it's the most user-friendly and also the most affordable, especially if you're just starting out.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's what sold me on it, because I was on some other platforms, and once I kind of maxed out my subscribers, then I was paying, I mean, I think at one point I was paying like $80 a month or something, which isn't, you know, a huge number, but if you're a small business, that is a lot, especially if you're not doing the things, which we're going to talk about later in the episode, of actually using your list, which is what I was guilty of. I had these people just sitting in my list, paying $80 a month and not actually even emailing them. Cause it, you know, yeah, a lot of reasons, but it was bad. Yeah. I think Flowdesk is really great too. So how do you, you talked about, you know, going to the platforms where people are hanging out to get people on the email list, but what is kind of the call to action to get them on there? Like, you know, is it just sign up for my newsletter? Do you recommend using the lead magnet strategy? Any best practices for actually getting them to convert over?
Yeah. So if we're talking digital, my favorite strategy is actually the lead magnet strategy. And that's just because I really believe in value-based marketing. I think that the more that we're able to give to people, the more likely they are to come back. And that can be challenging and kind of like controversial for people, because they feel like, well, I don't want to give too much. Mm-hmm. But there's a strategic way to do it. And ultimately, you want to think about, okay, what can I offer someone that's going to solve a problem for them quickly? And then turn that into a lead magnet. So maybe you are in the health and wellness industry, you're a yoga teacher, and your audience has trouble sleeping. Create a really quick 5-minute meditation to help them go to sleep. And then, you know, say, here you go, sign up for my mailing list and you'll get this free meditation. If you are working in nutrition, you know, you can create a list of gut-friendly foods for when you feel bloated, right? So kind of thinking about what's something that's quick and easy to apply to someone's life that when they get this, they're going to feel like, wow, this is so valuable. This is a tool that I can come back to again and again. And then you want to make sure that you're constantly pointing people there. So a lot of people have lead magnets, but they forget to tell people to sign up for the lead magnet. Yep. And you can do that in so many ways. You can do it in your captions. You can do it at the end of your videos or lives, but just making sure that you're constantly reminding people, because we've got so much going on as a culture. It's super easy to forget.
Yeah. Love that. So, and I agree. I think that's one of the areas I personally see people, they're like, email doesn't work for me. You know, I have no email list, because they haven't put in that value in the beginning. And you know, it does take some time. Like my main lead magnet that I used, I think I worked pretty much like an entire day on it, on this little PDF, but it, you know, that's 8 hours out of, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of emails that have started there, and, you know, probably hundreds I've turned into paying customers. So it is hard when you're not like getting paid for the work that you're doing, putting in that work on the upfront. But I think that you kind of have to. I have a question though about lead magnets too. I always struggle with this myself. Is do you recommend, or you know, have you seen people being more successful when they just kind of have one key lead magnet, like one of the ones that you mentioned? Or have you kind of played around with creating different lead magnets for different segments almost? Like maybe there's a smoothie recipe one, and then maybe there's a more vitamin-based one or something, you know. Any thoughts around that?
Yeah, so I actually have played around with that with my own business and also with clients. And the way that I like to do it is, okay, you always want to kind of reverse engineer your offer. So if you have one signature offer and you know, I'm just going to constantly market this one offer, then having one lead magnet totally makes sense. And then it kind of can branch out. If you have different offers, then that's when you can start to say, okay, I'm going to offer a different lead magnet, because down the line, I might be sending different emails to these people. So you can segment them and say, okay, they came in through the meditation and these other people came in through the PDF. So I know that PDF belongs to this offer, meditation belongs to a different offer. And later down the line, you can market to them separately, which will totally help with your conversion. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's something that also you want to test out, because with everything in marketing, you just don't know until you try.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think to add to that, you don't want to confuse people either. And so that's something that, you know, I have struggled with before. It's like, well, let's create something original for every single, you know, individual person that could ever be on my list. And then it's like, well, what does she actually do? Like, what is her specialty? So I think you definitely have to be careful with that, but, that's really good insight there.
That's so okay. True. You know, I think that a lot of times people they kind of start to think, well, okay, this lead magnet isn't really bringing anyone in right now. And they get a little impatient. And that's when they start to jump to, well, maybe I need to create a new one. And I would just say, like, give it time and give it consistency. Because a lot of times those things will work for you. But like we mentioned earlier, it might be a little bit down the line. And it's not really about creating something new. It's about just kind of like putting faith in what you've created and giving it that space to grow.
I love that. I think that's the same thing for offers too. You know, people are like, okay, I need to create a brand new course, but they haven't really nurtured, you know, their existing audience yet and told them about that course. So then now they're throwing a new course at people instead of just really doing that due diligence and really marketing that first course. So totally makes sense. That would be the same way for an email list. You got to give it time and do the work to get people there in the first place. It's almost like that's the first goal. You know, I think people think of, okay, the goal is the sale or the discovery call or whatever it is. I'm like, yes, that's the end goal, but you almost need to have this midway point of like, okay, the first mini goal is to actually get people onto this email list. And then you're going to kind of transition them over to the sale in the email itself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So what do you do? It's like the $1 million question. What do you do now that you have an email list? Because this is where I certainly was stuck for years. I had hundreds and hundreds of emails just sitting there. What do you do? You know, do you start a newsletter? Do you start an automation sequence? Like, what do? You do more freebies? I mean, what's your best recommendations for that?
Yeah, this is a great question. Simple answer, just write them an email.
Right. It all makes sense now.
It all makes sense now. But really, like, that is the first hurdle to get over. Like, you can't be afraid to talk with your community, because they signed up because they want to hear from you. And I get that a lot from clients where they're like, well, I'm just like afraid I'm going to send too many emails. And it's like, you know, just don't be afraid. They want to be your friend. But to look at it from a more practical perspective, I always encourage sequences. I think that planning out in advance is super helpful. From the more yogic perspective, I think that creating structure allows for more flow, and it allows for you to feel a little bit more confident in yourself, a little more comfortable being creative. So when people sign up and say they downloaded your lead magnet, it's always great to have a welcome sequence that's connected to that. And this does two things. One, it helps people to start to get integrated into your community. You can share your story in the first email if they don't really know anything about you or, you know, where you come from, why you started your business. You can share that with them. You can share really awesome tips on whatever your lead magnet might be about, or whatever the offer might be about if it's tied to an offer. And you can ask them for their feedback or interaction. So it starts to open up those sort of doors of communication, because a lot of times people think, well, I don't have to respond to these emails that I get. But if you ask them to, it kind of starts to position you as more of a person and not just a business. So I always say, like, put together a welcome sequence. It can be 3 emails long. It can be more. And it's up to you. I think that having it last over the course of maybe like a week is good. Just so that you can say, you know, okay, first email they get goes out this day, a couple days later, maybe I'll send another, and then a couple days later, I'll send the last one. This also helps you because you're not sitting there worried about them not receiving an email. They're automatically getting them, and it gives you some time to think about, okay, what's the next step?
I love so much of that. First, this is a little light bulb went off even just for me, is like kind of giving that introduction to yourself. I guess I just sometimes assume like, well, they signed up for my email list, so they know who I am, right? Like they either watched a video or they went to my website. But I mean, I think about the free, you know, the lead magnets and things like that, that I've downloaded, you know, sometimes I'm just Googling and I spend 2 minutes on their site. I don't actually know a whole lot about them. So that's actually a really good point to kind of formally introduce yourself. And then I guess the question I have about those sequences is like, you know, are you just providing value in those first emails, or do you recommend just kind of getting out with it and being like, hey, here's the offers that I have as well in one of those intro emails? Or how do you kind of balance that line of, you know, being personable, getting to know people, but also making it worth your while and not just emailing just to email?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And I very much believe in establishing a relationship before asking someone for something. And I just kind of think of that in terms of, well, if we were face to face, and actually this is really where it came from. So I have this constant experience where I'll go to stores, and a lot of times it's smaller owned businesses, but they'll come up to me right away and they'll just start selling things to me. And they'll be like, do you want this rug? Do you want this statue? Do you want this perfume? And I'm like, really, all I want right now is just to kind of like look around and breathe. And like, maybe if you can give me information about your store or who you are, or say hello, like that would be great. You know, I think of it in terms of that. We're online, we're still kind of inviting people into our space. So I always say, you know, make sure they know who you are, that they know your story and your morals, and so that they can, you know, decide, yeah, I really do connect with this person. And then giving them some information to let them know that throughout this journey together, I'm going to support you. So I'm going to make sure that if you have questions, you're going to get them answered, and you know that. And if you want to learn more about the lead magnet that you downloaded, like, here's some information, here are some tips that you can put to use right away. And as you go along, you can actually tease out your sale. So this is where the PS section of the email really comes in handy, because you can have an email that's full of information, and then at the end you can say, by the way, I've got this super awesome offer I want to tell you about, so make sure you check that next email. You're not necessarily blatantly selling, but you're saying, okay, the sale is going to come, so get ready, but it's going to be something that you benefit from. And then maybe in that last two email, the last two emails that you have, you can start to just full on promote. And it's not going to feel sleazy, and people are going to be a lot more likely to like open and read your email.
Yeah. And I love that idea of putting it in the PS too, because those are the people who like, they've read the whole thing and they're looking for more, you know, they're going to that footer section of your email to either follow you on social or to, you know, do whatever, to like read everything about you. So they're probably going to be the ones who are most likely to be like getting excited about that PS section, not the ones who are finding you annoying for emailing them.
It's true. And sometimes people do just like scroll down to the bottom. So I always try to add a tiny like synopsis of what I wrote. Like it'll either be like, did you enjoy these 5 tips on blank? Great, because here's an offer, right? So then if they are the scrollers that get to the bottom to just find out what's going on, they might be like, oh, wait, I totally missed this. Let me go back up and read the email.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's a great tip. Okay. Love that. So I feel like the first email in the sequence is pretty easy because that's usually going to be you're delivering a freebie or something like that, that they signed up for. So as far as getting them to open, that's probably going to be pretty easy because they're going to be anticipating it. But what about those ongoing emails? Because I know this is another area where I'll write the email. Okay. This is where else I get stuck. I'll do the work. I'll write the email. And then I'm like, oh shoot, now I have to name the email. I have to write a subject line. And that has seriously prevented me so many times from sending out emails because I just don't know where to start. Any tips for that?
Yeah. So subject lines are pretty much like the most important part of your email. And
no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. Don't worry. But I do have three tips that I wanted to share on that. So the first one is to check your tone, right? So like you want to know who you're talking about or not about who you're talking to. And that once again goes back to making sure you know who your people are. Maybe they respond more to a casual tone. Maybe they respond more to like an exciting tone or a more serious tone. A lot of times it's not necessarily going to be like the super professional, serious tone, but you want to make sure that you are kind of in alignment with what they respond to. I like to keep it casual in the subject lines that I create, but it's because I'm also helping people in the health and wellness industry and they respond a little bit more to that. So yep. Just think about your industry. And then the next part is make sure you're using a hook. So this can either be a cliffhanger where you share just a little bit of information and you have an ellipsis. Like a good example is, do you really need this to get your emails opened? ... You're not telling them what this is, so they have to open the email to find out. You might use a question, and you can also use a statement that proves that there's going to be value in the email if they open it. And then the last tip is to make sure that you're not using too many symbols, like the at sign or a bunch of exclamation points or dollar signs. And that's just to avoid the spam bots because you want to make sure that your emails are actually getting into their inbox. The thing with email is the more people open your emails, the better rating your email gets. So it's less likely to go into that promotional folder or that spam folder.
That's a really good tip. Speaking of that, kind of on a similar front, you talked about this earlier about getting people to reply to you. Is there any truth to that? I've heard that if you ask, hey, reply to this email and tell me what your favorite tip was or whatever, by getting people to actually interact with your email, that helps with those spam filters as well.
Yeah, it actually does. When they reply to your email, it tells whatever email service provider you use that you actually talk to these people. Right. So it's a great way to make sure you stay in their inbox as well.
It's a great tip. Awesome. Okay. Subject lines important. I love the tip about the like dollar signs and things like that. I didn't even think about that. So that's super helpful. Similarly, when we're thinking about open rates and all of that, how do we actually benchmark? How do we measure our success with that? Like, how do I know that my open rates are good or that my email subject lines are performing? You know, how do you actually go in and analyze your emails?
Yeah, this one, I say use the analytics tools that are in your email service provider. So for example, Flowdesk will tell you not just how many of your emails got opened, but who opened them and where they open them from. So did they open them on their desktop or did they open it on their phone? And you can use that information to structure your emails moving forward. So if someone opened it on a desktop or most of your readers opened it on a desktop, then maybe you think about, okay, you know, my pictures can be a little bit bigger. So just kind of thinking about formatting that email and then also looking at the click-through rates. This is something where you can think, okay, if I strategically place the links in my email at the bottom or in the middle, then I know that someone was scrolling through to actually read the email to get to the link. So that's just something I kind of think about. And then it really depends on how complicated your sales funnel is from there. if you are launching a course or a product and you're just doing it through email, it's a little bit easier to say, okay, all these sales came from email. But when you start to use different platforms, it gets a little more complicated. And for that, I just say, you know, there's different tools out there that you can use to track where your sales are coming from. But if we're just looking at strictly email, I really rely heavily on whatever analytics program is built into the provider.
Yeah, awesome.
Just make sure that you're being intentional with your email, because you can always be yourself. You can always be super authentic, and that totally works. But if you have a plan for what you're doing with your emails, that's when they start to really convert. So that's when I say, you know, think about where you're placing those links. Think about what kind of stories you're telling and how they connect to the product that you ultimately want to sell. You know, think about the sequences that you're creating and, how those are going to take your reader along a journey and make them feel like you're really holding their hand through the process.
I love that. I do have one last question actually to piggyback off of that. Is there a good benchmark? Like if you were to just say in general for online business owners, whether they're launching a digital product or a service, how often should you be in your subscribers' email inbox? Like after those, you know, email sequences, they've run through those. Do you recommend like a weekly newsletter, a monthly newsletter? I mean, just as like a first touch point, especially for those of us who are DIYing it and don't have somebody amazing like you to write them for us. Any quick recommendation on that?
I like weekly. I've seen weekly do well for my clients and for myself. And it's just, it keeps you top of mind. We live in a really busy, super noisy world. So when they get that weekly check-in, it's like, oh yeah, CJ exists. And also when your emails are really fun and exciting, it's something that you can kind of allow your audience to look forward to each week from you. And then also just don't beat yourself up if you don't make it weekly. Make it something that's accessible for you. So if it's hard to show up on the same day every week, don't be afraid to show up on a couple different days out of the week, you know, and just give yourself that grace to just show up in the way that works for you.
Love that. And I think that from a, you know, a reader perspective or a subscriber perspective, I think that's important to keep that interest, because there is a such thing as stale emails too. And I encountered this when I had those big lists that I wasn't doing anything with. It's like, if you then follow up and start activating that list months or years later, they forgot who you are. So just having a quick check-in, I think, is important. And even if some people do unsubscribe, it's probably for the best, because they were just there for the freebie or whatever. Like they probably had no intention of actually sticking around to be a customer anyway. So I try to look at it that way. I'm like, I actually like when people unsubscribe, because, you know, they're cleaning themselves out and I don't have to manually do it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think that's like a huge part that we almost missed is the unsubscribes. That is so important. Like, don't be afraid of unsubscribes for exactly the reason that you just shared. And there are sequences that you can use to clean your list. But yeah, you know, it's fun to just know that everyone on my list are actually people that want to be here.
Yes, totally. Awesome. Well, this was super helpful. I learned a lot and I know that my audience will too. Do you want to let everyone know where they can find you? Anything exciting that you have coming up that people should stay tuned for in your business?
Yeah, thank you so much. So actually, we've been talking this whole time about sequences, and I am creating a product. It's called the Authentic Email Marketing Toolkit, and it's going to be a compilation of email sequences that people can use. Everything from your welcome sequence to the list cleaning sequence and an evergreen sequence that you can use when you're launching a product, an event, or a course. So that's coming out mid-January, and I'm super excited about that. Yeah, so it's going to be really fun. It's something that, you know, it's a do-it-yourself product. So if you are just starting out in email, it's great. If you have, you know, someone that you hire to write your emails for you, you can pass it along to them. You can work together to use those sequences. So it's going to be really helpful for that. And if you are looking for a way to get your emails open in the meantime, and you want to get on my mailing list so that you can know when that product drops, you can actually go to simplyhealthymarketing.com and get a free list of 20 authentic email email subject lines that will help you get your emails opened.
Amazing. I'm going to have those links in the show notes, of course. And also CJ is going to be a guest instructor for the Online Business Launch Lab in January. So she'll be talking more about email in class. So some of you will see her and hear from her soon. So I'm super excited for that too.
Yay, me too. Get your questions ready, y'all.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you again, CJ. This was so helpful and it's always wonderful to see you, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks again to CJ Thomas of Simply Healthy Marketing for joining me on the show today. Be sure to give CJ a follow on Instagram. And for more resources on building your online business, visit us online at onlinebusinesslaunchlab.com. Until next time.